It always costs money to make money. It always does. It's an investment. You can't go anywhere without thinking you're going to get something for free. And this is why, even when at my festivals, I pay everyone. I do have a couple volunteers, but for the most part, most people get paid something, because then they're accountable for it. And I think it's really important to always pay your people. So it's an investment. When I pay an artist, I'm investing in them, and they remember that. They come back and they want to play for me again. It's an investment. And when you have that last minute, oh my gosh, I got a private party and I need an artist type of thing, you're going to go, ah, oh, I got one. So it just builds on itself. And you know, Kevin, I remember you filled in a couple of those for us along the way.
I did. How's it going? Welcome to the McCove Mindset Podcast. I'm Kevin McCove, and today we're sitting down with my friend Gail Dillman. She's the CEO and founder of Gable Music Ventures, a talent buying and music booking agency here in the Delaware area. She is such an incredible advocate for female empowerment, female CEOs and entrepreneurs, and especially female musicians. She runs a mega, mega huge, all-female fronted music festival called the Ladybug Music Festival. We're going to sit down with her today and just talk about everything that she has learned from her time in the business, and hopefully glean something from some of her insights as well. As always, if you enjoy what you hear, if you enjoy this conversation, hit like, hit subscribe, and leave a comment and let me know what you think. Let's get to it. Thank you so much for being here today, and welcome to the McCove Mindset Podcast.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's so awesome to be able to have these kinds of conversations, especially with you, because you were at the forefront of when I began like pursuing a career as an independent artist. Because mm-hmm. I think when I found out about Gable Music Ventures, I was still in school. I was in school.
Really?
I was. It was like 2011, 2010, 2011 time.
Yeah.
Is that about like when you guys started? Yeah.
2011.
2011. Yeah. So it was, I was a junior in college. Yeah. I was like a junior in college.
You tell me.
And I think that I found out about you guys because one of the guys in my class, Tom Julian.
Oh, yeah. Tom, he used to work with me.
I will see those. So this is how I know. This is how I know. I know because of Tom. And he was like, oh, there's this company, Gable Music Ventures, and they're like booking independent artists and stuff. And that was when I had first reached out to you. So it's like, wow, this relationship has been growing for well over a decade now.
Thank you for reminding me about all that. I mean, so much has transpired in my business life and personal life in the last 10 years that it's really hard to sometimes remember everything, the little details, like Tom Julian working for me and you coming to me through him. So that's, tripping down memory lane.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, how did, like, Gable get started? Like, what was the, for anybody who was out here who was just like, you know, I want to know how to book music, right? Like, that's, you guys are phenomenal at booking artists. And how did you do that? Because so many artists are wondering, how do I even book myself, let alone book tons and tons of artists?
It's so funny because today we just had a team meeting, my crew, and we're putting on the Ladybug Festival for June 2nd. So we have about 100 submissions to go through. And we're all going to listen to them and then make decisions. And so there's a whole art and a science to how do you get yourself booked? How does that all work? And I've gotten better at this over the years. So when we first started in 2011, seems like that was a million years ago.
Don't tell anybody.
you know, we really didn't know what we were doing in terms of, well, we weren't sure how to build our business other than we wanted to platform original music. That much we knew. And listening to original music is very tricky. It's not like listening to somebody who does a cover song. Because if I hear one cover song, I've heard a million. And anybody can cover a cover song. But to write your own music and perform it means that you're at a different level right off the bat. So, you know, we try to focus on original music. And I think that is, if I could start with one piece of advice or recommendations is write your stuff and sing your stuff and play your stuff. Not to say that covering music isn't good, because, you know, it can get you remembered and noticed and things like that as well. But honestly, it's what your original music is what you want to be known for. So that to me is when we started the business, we were looking for those artists that were not just a cover band. We were looking for original music artists. And when I go back, you know, I talk about like how we started this business and, you know, there was a lot of things that led up to it. And it was a time in my life that I was looking to start something new in my life. And my daughter was really my muse with this. And I think, you know, when it comes to trying things like this, you need to be open to what's coming to you. So the universe will present. Here's an opportunity. Are you ready for it or are you not ready for it? And I think that is one of the founding pieces of Gable Music Ventures, was that we were ready to start to bring original music to Wilmington, Delaware. So, you know, how did we find it? You know, I literally would go bar after bar, going to open mics and listening. And, you know, because Spotify wasn't that big, you know, 10 years ago. It wasn't like right. You could just go, you know.
Streaming back then, pretty much. You had to download things on your phone.
Right. So in order for you to find anyone, you had to go and find them and listen to them. So I spent a lot of nights going out to bars and listening to music. And I quickly realized that earplugs are my best friend. So
stave off the tinnitus for a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. You know, and that's another bit of advice. Love your ears and take care of them, because once they're gone, they're gone. Yeah, I was always good to my ears. But literally going out and watching bands and people, singer-songwriters perform. So, you know, so many singers are, you know, if they're having an off night, you know, and you're seeing them, then you're going to go away with that impression. So again, you know, be on your best whenever you are, because you never know. You could be in a room of 100 people and you only need one person that can make a difference to listen to you then. So, you know, to kind of be on your game, you know.
And you were that person.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think I helped a number of people along the way, get some incentive to get going and to take their craft to another level, you know, by finding them opportunities that were paying opportunities, creative ones that, you know, with Gable that we booked. So we do a lot of booking of summer series, and we do some festivals, and most notably Ladybug Music Festival, which is all about women. So I'm always looking, I'm always listening, I'm always looking, who's playing at the venues, who's on the lines. I don't go as much out to the bars anymore because it's going to kill me. But I do go out and listen, and I just kind of hang in the background and listen and then, you know, make notes and go away.
That's awesome. So now I want to fast forward to the Ladybug Festival.
Okay.
Because I remember when the Ladybug Festival had its first Ladybug Festival, you know, and then I've been to the ones that followed. When did you start Ladybug Festival? Was that maybe like 2015?
No.
It was before then?
It was in 2011. It was
really? It was the same? So maybe...
Yeah, 2012. So it's been going for over 10 years now. But it started off really tiny. So it started off the year of Firefly. Which was, I think, 2012. See, I'm losing track.
I think it was.
Yeah. So remember when Firefly was announced in the state of Delaware, there was a big uproar that there were no local bands on the lineup. It was a national festival coming to Dover, and there were no bands on the lineup. So simultaneously, we were doing music on a pop-up basis down on Lower Market Street, and the two people that were the owners of that property were very grateful for what we were doing to bring new clients down to their businesses on the block. So they threw us a little bit of money and said, hey, let's throw a little bit of a party to say thank you. And we were like, great. And that was right when Firefly was announced. And we said, oh, we'll do it the Thursday before Firefly, because we're going to get all those people that are coming in from out of state to come to our festival.
And for those of you who don't know, Firefly is a music festival that was happening in Delaware. That's like a very big festival.
I think
it was owned by, well, it was owned by Red Frog, and now it's owned by AG. And maybe it's paused now, but it's a very big festival.
It's taken a break for this year, but they'll be back. It's huge. I mean, it's a 90,000 person event, you know, 3-day event. It's huge. Right. So we decided we were going to come up with a bug name, you know, kind of playing off Firefly, and we had lots of ideas, but the one I came up with is Ladybug. And I said, hey, and let's make it all about women. And it was just, it was supposed to be a one-off. It was never intended to grow as it has grown.
It's so incredible. It has grown. It has grown. Like, if you're listening to this podcast, search the Ladybug Festival. And if you're on the East Coast, definitely go attend. Do you guys have streaming options?
No, during COVID, we did a video version of it. We haven't streamed it. We talk about it. It's a little tough to do because we have so many venues. We'll have,
right,
this year, I think we're going to have 8 venues. So we usually have like between 8 and 10 venues. So it's a little complicated to figure out where you're going to stream it from, where should it be. So I'm not going to say no, we're not going to do that, but we haven't quite figured it out yet.
How to do it.
And because this is a free community event, it's sponsored by Chase Bank.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that part of the conversation too. That's a great segue. Because yeah. I want to know, how did you get Chase to get involved with this event?
So that was a process. Life is really a game of connect the dots. You know, who do you know? Who knows who? This is where being open and seeing the opportunities is really important. Being aware. So I knew somebody who was a woman vice president at Chase, and she had come to my event. I invited her, and she was like, this is cool. This is really cool. And I said, well, you know, do you think, because I ask, I'm also shameless, and I will ask anybody anything. I said to her, well, do you think Chase would ever be interested in sponsoring, you know, a little bit and helping us grow it? And she set up a meeting for us with a couple of senior vice presidents there. And I went in, and, you know, timing is also everything. You know, are you at the right place at the right time? But you can be at the right place at the right time and not be ready for it. So you got to kind of be ready, got to have it in your head. So I went in there and we pitched this idea of this festival about women. And they were interested in building a community in downtown Wilmington that would help for them to attract and retain Chase employees, to get more people to want to work in Wilmington by showing them that there are things going on. And what better way to do it than to create a festival in your backyard, which is literally what we did.
Right.
So that's, and of course, you know, running a quality event and making sure that you have a very high bar, a gold standard by which you operate, so that the affiliation of their very important name with Ladybug Festival was strong and it was good and, you know, they were happy with it. Like, we were doing the right thing and they could see that. So it's not a philanthropic type of event for them. We market them. So I'm going back to that marketing thing.
Yeah.
And it's a business. Got to think of everything like a business. Like, we are marketing their business. They're marketing our business. Everybody's marketing. Everybody wants more business. That's how it all works. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's great. You just got to figure out how you're going to do that. How you're going to deliver. What's your return on that investment? So I was in the right place at the right time. And then I was aware of that opportunity and I maximized it. And I've been able to maintain it over the years, and certainly always looking for new sponsors,
yeah,
know, along the way. But yeah, you know, you have to just connect the dots and see what are they looking for? What do they want? What do they need to have happen? And how can I fulfill that for them?
It's remarkable. You know, I've never seen anything like that. And it's so cool to have it here. So give me your top five things, your top five things that you as a talent buyer is like, these things will help to set you apart and help you get the attention and get you booked, which ultimately will get you paid.
Right. Have a good website or a website. Have a good video of yourself. Have some good promo pics, a headshot, something. Have shots of that. Have a great song or two or three on your website. And probably fifth is be a business and be responsive. Like you, if you are going to be looking for the next best thing, if you are wanting to get into the big leagues, don't be looking at your emails only once a week. You look at them every day. You got to be on it. You got to be on it all the time. You got to follow up on emails. Don't sit there and wait a week, because I'm not waiting for you. You know, you don't get back to me, I'm moving on. You have a window of time by yo big to respond. And bands don't understand that, you know, while you are unique, I'm just saying there's a lot of Kevin McCoves out there. In a sense.
You're absolutely right. Special.
But
it's totally fine. I hear what you're saying. Yes.
So if I can't reach you, and I'll say this is, and I'm not going to do this justice as much as I should, but this is just something for all musicians to really think about. Make sure when you put your music out there, your signature, your name, your way of contact is embedded in that material. Can I say that again?
Say it louder for the folks in the back.
For the folks in the back. I get a video, and if it is not embedded in the video, your name and how to reach you, your website, something, and I like it, but I can't figure out who you are, I'm sorry, it's gone. It's gone. So if you want to get your music into a music supervisor, if you want to be picked up and, you know, be some song on, you know, some, you know, The Last of Us or whatever, you better make sure you have got your intellectual property buttoned up and on every single thing that you put out there. Every song should have your name embedded in it. Every video, have that done. It is to protect yourself, and so people know, oh, this belongs to Kevin McCove. If I want to use this song in that series, I owe it to Kevin McCove. And so, but me as somebody who is booking people, if I can't find it, I'm on to the next Kevin.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, and you may be the best thing that I've ever seen in my entire life, but if I can't find you, I'm sorry. I don't have the time. And I'm moving on.
Yeah. So I'm like, I know. And I'm like, for those listening,
yeah,
one of the reasons why, you know, I think my relationship with you and with your company has sustained throughout the years is because I'm proactive about reaching out.
Right.
You know, like I make it a point to try to be around, to try to be in front of, whether I'm performing or not. You know, I haven't been performing in a while, you know, and so it's like, it doesn't matter. It's so important when she says to like be responsive.
Oh my gosh.
I want to add on top of, yes, you need to be responsive if someone's reaching out to you, but also be proactive.
Oh yeah.
Because you said earlier in this conversation about timing and how important timing is. And sometimes it's not the right time right now, but you just reach out again and reach out again. And people remember when you're the person that has reached out to them a few times, and you never know that third or fourth or fifth time that you reach out, that may be the time. And it has the equity behind it of all of the other attempts at communication.
Patience, persistence, perseverance. You know, you gotta kind of get dirty in this business. You gotta be willing to go after it. You've gotta be persistent. You have to be reachable. I mean, I cannot begin to tell you, like when I'm booking festivals and things, if I can't reach you to give you an offer, I've got five more I'm going after right out there. So that you know, just being on one social media platform, I don't recommend. Be on all of them, everything. You know, be on TikTok, be on Instagram, be on Facebook, be on everything. So if, you know, me, you know, searching for something, I find it and it's like I can reach you, I can get to you quickly.
Right.
It's huge. And with technology moving in the direction that it's moving, and I'm not by any any expert on this area at all. But it's changing, and everything is changing with Web3 and all this stuff that's coming up. You want to be able to be found, to be responsive, and to guard your property, intellectual property. You know, your music is your music. Button it up. Lock it up. Make sure you get it licensed. You know, do what you need to do. It's really important. It's really important. Because bad things do happen out there in the music world.
Well, I am very glad that my opportunity wasn't gone. Yeah, you know, like, yeah. That when I reached out to you, you were incredibly responsive. You were at the doctor. You know, like, yeah, you reached out to me, you know, or you replied back to me when you're at the doctor. I appreciate you taking the time out to come and sit down and offer me and this audience some of your time and your insight and your wisdom. And I truly do want to say thank you for all of the years of being right there. You know, I can't truly articulate the appreciation that I have, that I felt like when I picked up my phone to message you, that I could rely on there being a response because of the strength of our relationship.
Yeah.
And it's very comforting to feel that. And so, you know, I want to encourage anybody who's listening to check out Gable Music Ventures and do your research on Miss Gail Dillman.
Thank you.
I truly stand by it that she's an incredible person. And if you do get the privilege of working with her, it will be a positive experience for you.
Thank you. I'm proud of what we do as a business. I'm proud of what I've accomplished as a woman entrepreneur. And, you know, it's not an easy place out there for anybody. The world is tough. The world is tough. If we all just, you know, kind of appreciate each other and kind of be nicer a little bit, you know, there's lots of good things that can happen. And I, you know, and that's how we operate this business. You know, we're good people wanting to bring good music to the world. So come out to Ladybug Festival on June 2nd and you'll find it on my website, theladybugmusicfestival.com.
And it'll be linked below this video.
Oh, you're so good, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really, I'm always so excited to do stuff like this. And if I can ever help an artist along the way and, you know, give them some good bits of advice that help them to get their next level of success, I'm happy as a clam. That makes me really, really happy. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.